from the gun. Morse in the backfield. Noah Pickton is going to throw again. Second down and goal. He's going to pull it down. He's under pressure. He darts out to his right, looking to throw to the end zone, and does. Jump ball is picked off. An errant throw by Noah Pickton. And the Rams come up empty. Josh Haggerty, the Campbell Tart Regina boy, picks it off.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and David Dubé and the Concord Group of Companies, by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina, getting the real estate game with the three-time Grey Cup champ by giving him a call at 306-502-5355. By Boys Next Door Window Cleaning, Nathan and Landon doing a bang-up job based out of White City. Check out their website at theboysnextdoor.ca. Mark Greshner Photography did great work for me, so I can personally vouch for him. Check out his fine work, markgreshner.com. Also, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville. Paul Riviere and his great family joining us again this year, sponsoring the podcast. Zelko Stefanovic and the SAS Selects football program out there at the Yars Center in Moose Jaw, building the stars of tomorrow today. Also wanted to give a shout out to our buddy Corey Zadarozniak, Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn. For grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance, check out Corey at Double Z Ag Sales. Time now for our homegrown segment brought to you by Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified durum, yellow peas, and chickpeas. We're going to talk now in a homegrown segment with the head coach of the Regina Thunder, Scott McCauley, as unfortunately COVID has canceled the 2020 football season. You were always optimistic we'd get to play a season because that's the kind of guy you are. How disappointed are you today that the CJFL had to cancel?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you're disappointed to, like, hear those final words or the final decision to be made. But there's also, you know, you kind of, as you're going through this whole thing, there's one week where you're super optimistic, and the next week there might be one or two things that sort of happen where you understand that it's going to be an uphill battle. And it's upsetting, but there's a lot of emotions that are involved. And one of the emotions involved as well is just a sense of relief as well. Like, there's a little bit more clarity of, like, what we now can and cannot do. And for us, you know, like, we're going to tell our guys, the coaches, the players and support staff, you know what, go enjoy August. I'm sure there's a lot of people that haven't had an August within decades, you know, so spend with your family and friends and enjoy this beautiful weather. And what we'll do is that we will reconvene in September and, you know, make sure that our guys are working hard to improve their football skills and football IQ and also increase the level of engagement and help develop more of our leadership within the team, and those are the four areas that we focus on. And who knows, like, maybe come September, maybe we're able to work with the business response team for this whole COVID ordeal and orchestrate some sort of series against the Saskatoon Hilltops and go from there.
Yeah, is that some? I know that's been kind of rumored between the Rams and Huskies too. Is that something you guys are you have a chance at? Maybe do like a best of three, best of five, controlled scrimmages, something like that?
Yeah, I think, like, you know what we need to do is we need to partner up with the Rams, we need to partner up with the Huskies and the Hilltops, and formulate some sort of committee that can work together and look through the rules and regulations and talk to the powers that be and see if this is something that we can make happen. And I think it'd just be a great thing for the players and the organizations to be able to work towards that carrot at the end. But, you know, even if we're not able to, our guys need to use this as a time to get better, right? Not to sit back and rest. We need to use this as an opportunity to maybe catapult or slingshot our organization further ahead within the CJFL.
Yeah, way to look at it with a silver lining. Scott McCauley joining us here, head coach of the Thunder, talking about the CJFL season being canceled. Do we know about guys like Carter Stusik? He was on our show a little earlier. He's a guy that could age out. Do we know if they're going to get an extra year? How's that going to work?
We don't know as of today, but I'm fairly optimistic that it seems like most teams are on the same page in regards to the eligibility of our players. And that's, you know, I see our fifth-year players getting their still get their fifth year, or you're playing above the age of 22 and be able to play as a 23-year-old for sure. So we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks, but it seems like the league and all the teams are all on the same page, and I think that they're going to have definitely a good outcome in the end.
Never mind partnership going forward in the immediate future. How about down the road here? You guys, I really believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not necessarily saying it comes from you, but I don't know that the Rams and the Thunder are on the same page as it comes to working together. I'd like to see that going forward, because here's why I say that. We're looking at a situation now where two recruiting classes are going to go to the University of Regina. How do you fit all those guys on a roster? There's going to have to be some roster restrictions in university football. And I'll be honest with you, if my son was going to sit on the bench for probably two, if not like it would be 3 years before he'd maybe get to see the field, I'd want him to play some meaningful snaps in a game situation. I would not be opposed sending my son to junior football and a good program like the Thunder or the Hilltops. Do you think you'll be a benefactor of maybe getting some younger guys to play a couple of years before they'd get a legitimate crack of cracking a U of S or like a U of S or U of R roster?
Yeah, like I think like the one thing right now is that I feel like the relationship that we have with the Rams head coach and also the U of S head coach is the best it's ever been in my years that I've been involved with the Thunder. I think like we're all trying to do what's best for the players in our organization, and it's always going to be tough. Like, yeah, like you know what, all these guys should come play for us for 2 or 3 years. But the bottom line is that what happens after 2 or 3 years, you lose these guys, right? So it's. Or the opposite of that, maybe the Rams, if they're going to get these guys, they want to get them early so they can learn their systems and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of things that sort of come into play, and we definitely need to sit down and maybe formulate a plan, especially now having two recruiting crops coming through. But you know, like for us, like you know, like we're still going to have to take care of the Regina Thunder and make sure that we have a competitive team year in, year out, and it's definitely something that we need to revisit probably during these COVID times, but it's tricky as well.
How about for funding for your team going forward? How does the financial future look? I know you've got some good people on your board. Guys like Nirat El-Khatib are very very important, and he's tapped into the community, obviously. But I mean, all sporting programs at the amateur level are going to face what everybody's facing, the dollar crunch, because the economic virus could be worse than the actual virus.
Yeah, you know, like fortunately for us, like our directors have, you know, done a good job of putting us in a solid situation right now financially, but, you know, like we maybe have enough funds to get us through like another year, but, you know, moving forward with, us not having a sports dinner, we're probably making, you know, $30,000 to $40,000 where we're going to our budget. Like, we need to now figure out a way to replace that because we didn't have that this year, and who knows what's going to happen next year. You know, the funding that we're, you know, very fortunate to get through the Saskatchewan Roughriders to the Rams 50-50, well, if there's no CFL or there's limited games in the CFL, like, we're unable to, we're not going to get anything from the Saskatchewan Roughriders. So now we'll see if they replace that as well. If there's no games, there's no events, then how do you get sponsorship dollars? So like, there is a lot of uncertainty, like what's going to be happening moving forward. Mm. But like, I'm really proud of our board of directors and our executive and the direction that we're going in. Like, we need to put a focus on our NFL pool. Like, that's like one thing. If there's any amateur football fans out there, or football in general fans out there, or non-profit fans out there, like buying an NFL pool ticket from the Regina Thunder is something that's going to keep us alive and able to move forward. You know, we have to be smart with some of the other fundraising opportunities and see how we can do things virtually or just go in a different direction. But I think we got a good leadership group that's involved with that, and we're going to figure out a way to get through it.
And you guys have been still doing some workouts, skills drills and social distancing and following all the rules. That will continue in September. And how do you keep these guys engaged? Because it's a shot in the gut that they're not playing. I know we're trying to look at the silver lining, but these guys have worked their ass off all off season. You've recruited hard, and then there's no carrot at the end, AKA the season. So how do you keep these guys engaged?
It's a great question. We just had a meeting with our players like last night. You know, like we need to make sure that, you know, even if we don't have a season or if there is no series against Sask and Hilltops, that we continue to try to engage our players and make sure that they're getting better. And so the bottom line is that if you want to be a football player, be a football player. Don't play football player, right? And what football players are going to do is that they're going to continue to hone on their craft and work on their skill sets. And so, you know, like this year, especially in the fall, like we're going to find out who really actually loves the game of football and who does it actually mean to each guy. And, you know, to keep them engaged and stuff, like it's really going to have to come from the players as well. There's only so much you can do as coaches. We're the leaders and the players within the team, and guys also are individuals. Like they're the ones that are going to have to own it. If you want to get better as a football player and be that elite talent in 2021 or have that opportunity to make it to the CFL or to the next level, well, then you need to put the time and effort in to hone your craft. Yeah. We're going to be here to help these guys, and that needs to be sort of our focus.
All right. And Scott, I guess that's it for football in terms of playing games, but I saw you on the ball diamond with the Athletics. You're coaching your sons, Matthew and Chase, so have fun on the ball diamond, I guess.
I will. I'm loving it. It's definitely a different sport and a different tempo, but it's pretty cool to be have that opportunity to be with my sons.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate this.
Thanks.
This week, I had a chance to sub in for Derek Taylor as he was away on holidays. And on the sports cage, we had Bo Levi Mitchell join us. Yes, public enemy number one in Rider Nation. He actually is a pretty cool dude. He had some great things to say about two Regina boys, Mason Nias and Mark Mueller. Here's our conversation.
Michael, how's it going, man?
Good, man. So your friends, we have a mutual friend in Ben Hebert. First question out of the chute. Who's a better golfer, you or Hebes?
Oh, he would have you ask that. Confidence level is me, but no, he's definitely the better stick.
Yeah, you talk about confidence level, and some people can take that as cocky, but do you have to have that to be a great athlete? Let alone a quarterback, but a great athlete. Do you have to have that confidence, that swagger?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. First off, let me say, man, I've been asked to be on a lot of radio shows in Saskatchewan, and I've turned them all down so that I could be on the number one sports radio show.
Thank you.
In Saskatchewan. So, first of all, I appreciate the invite.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, for me, confidence is just, it's something that can get you through the rough times. You know, you can't have the false confidence because your teammates will see through it and sooner or later so will your opponent. But I mean, if you're at this level and to stay at this level and try to play at a high level, you've got to have that belief in yourself that no matter how many bad plays you make, and when, you know, when the time comes down to it and the lights are on, you can make the big play and make the one that counts. And, I think confidence has just been something for me that's carried me through a long way. And speaking of the mutual friend, the only person that might rival me in confidence is probably Benny Heeb. So it's been fun hanging out with him over the last couple of months.
Yeah, he definitely he definitely has a pressure position there too, sweeping, and has had a lot of success. And I, you know, my grandpa used to say, "It's not bragging if you can do it." And so I like confident people as long as, you know, they're tactful. But he did. He said nothing good ever happens after midnight, Bo. And he said also, you know, it's not bragging if you can do it. So you've done it for sure. But let me ask you something. Do you feel you need to win one or two more championships to, I mean, you've already got a great legacy there, but to really solidify yourself with the likes of Doug Flutie there in Calgary?
Yeah, I mean, I think I just to even be mentioned, you know, with Doug Flutie about any conversation that has to do with anything in football, you know, I mean, that's just breathtaking. That's just one of those guys you saw coming up, and he's always been one of the greatest to ever do it. Not only in this league, but in the NFL, he's been one of the most exciting athletes to ever play the quarterback position. And he's one of those guys that kind of pioneered that position as far as being the most athletic guy in the field. When it comes to the quarterback position, you didn't see that very often. And I've gone back and watched some of this film, and there's many plays that he made that I could never make. But you know, I always like to tell myself there's a lot of throws I can make that nobody else out there can make as well. But it's not always necessarily true. You know, Doug's one of those guys that can do everything. And I think, you know, trying to measure my career against his with, you know, different eras and everything, I think it's really tough. To me, it's the same trying to compare some of the likes of, you know, the Jordans and LeBron and, you know, Tom and guys from the past. It's, you know, we all play in different eras. So I'm just going to try to put as many championships on the resume as I possibly can and just try to leave the legacy with my teammates that, you know, is a lasting one.
I've talked to a lot of great players that have won and have lost. Which sticks with you longer, the ones you lose, like the Ottawa and Toronto Grey Cups in really inexplicable fashions, or the wins when you win the Grey Cup? Which sticks with you longer? What feeling?
Well, I think definitely losing does, because, you know, winning, you know, you win and you celebrate and you try to, you know, you try to use that momentum, but at the same time, you've got to forget about it, because, I mean, the thing that drives us athletes in the offseason is that hunger, that need to get back on the field and want to go out and do it again. And, you know, nothing drives you more than losing the championship game, being so close and having your hands close to that cup and not being able to grasp it. It's a tough one, but it's the best learning experience there is.
Bo, does the CFL, sorry for cutting you off, does the CFL do a good enough job of marketing guys like you, guys like Cody Fajardo? Because every good movie needs a villain, okay? And you've got that likable hate to you. Like, I like the way you play. I like what you do. I wish you were on my team, but I hate you when I'm playing against you. That, I think that's a respectful thing. I think Matthew Tkachuk in Calgary with the Flames has the same type of demeanor. You'd love to have him on your team, but you hate him when he's playing against you. Does the league do a good enough job of marketing guys like you? Because I don't think they do. I don't think in the NFL, and I know it's apples and oranges, but it's Tom Brady and the Patriots, or now the Buccaneers. It's Peyton Manning and the Colts. I don't really see it as Bo Levi Mitchell and the Calgary Stampeders when I look at marketing. I think this league could take it to another level that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, it's tough. I don't want to dog on anybody that's in the marketing, you know, department of the CFL. I think they do a great job of marketing the CFL as Canada's game. I think, you know, just like my game can have improvements still to this day, being 10 years in. Yeah, I think our marketing could always use improvements as well. You know, that comes down to budget and decisions and everything like that about people that are higher up than you. So, yeah, I think that's something the players and I have always talked about, is that, you know, the marketing of the players and could be better. But, you know, it's tough. You know, I've never been in that position, and you've got guys that tend to, you know, come here and make a name for themselves, and they dip out to the NFL or they have a short career and everybody's wondering, you know, why. And I think that's kind of the tough part. When it comes to marketing guys so much and spending so much money on that, is you don't know if they're, you know, gone the next year or whatnot. So I wish they did. You know, if they ever asked for my help, I would definitely try to give it. But I didn't take marketing in college, so I'm not gonna get my 2 cents on it.
Hey, Bo Levi Mitchell joining us here on the Western Pizza Hotline here in the Sports Cage on Thursday. We're happy he's joining us here, Bo. How do you like playing the villain and coming to Saskatchewan and playing in front of the fans here in Regina? Do you relish that?
Yeah, I think the compliment you extended was, you know, one of the best you can get as an athlete. You know, you want guys to want you on their team and hate playing against you. I think that's the exact mantra that any athlete kind of goes for. I wouldn't like it if people loved to play against me, because it means I probably wouldn't be very good. But yeah, I'd say, you know, I've always you know, razzed Saskatchewan. And I think that's just a part of the game. When you're playing for Calgary, you've got to be able to do that and rile up the fans a little bit. But I mean, every time I go there, man, I absolutely love playing in that stadium. I've loved playing in every stadium for Saskatchewan. But you know, just playing in front of those fans, it feels like Texas football to me. You know, where the fans are just diehard, passionate about it. No matter who you are and how likable you are on the other team, they're going to hate you because you're not wearing green. And I think that's fun. I think that's what football should be. And I think everybody loves that environment when they go into that.
What's more important as a quarterback, arm strength or accuracy?
I would say it's different at two different ages. You know, I'm probably against the norm on this, but at the young age, I like to teach arm strength, teach a kid how to throw the ball far, because that's the way I did it, was going out and I'd stand in the middle of the street and try to throw as far as I can, and about, you know, the lines in the concrete that run perpendicular to you, they're all about like 27 yards apart. I remember measuring it one day as a kid and just trying to continue to throw farther and farther and farther. I feel like you can actually find your throwing motion a little bit better if you learn how to throw the ball as far as you can and then hone in the accuracy. But, you know, to me, when it comes to professional sports, accuracy is definitely, you know, the bigger one. You look at guys, you know, like Dave, you know, guys like Ricky that have just been deadly accurate and they've carried a long, long legacy. You know, arm strength can definitely diminish, but your accuracy is something that, you know, you've got to have, you know, just no matter what. But yeah, arm strength is something that I've definitely carried with me for my entire career and hope to for the rest of it.
When I have a radio question, I ask a radio announcer, and I guess I could ask you because you're a radio announcer, but you're a quarterback, so you wouldn't ask a radio announcer if you wanted to pick somebody's brain. Is there somebody in the league you're good friends with, maybe not even just on your team, but, you know, around the league, like a Trevor Harris or somebody that, hey, because there's only a select few of you in this league where you can really bounce ideas off and things off of?
Yeah, no, everybody speaks about the brotherhood of quarterbacks, and it really is true. Me and Matt Nichols went to the same school. Me and Mike Riley were coached by the same head coach. I've become really good friends with Travis Lule, having the same agent, and, you know, Mike's had the same agent as well. And, we're all pretty, really pretty tight-knit. You know, same with Vernon Adams. We went to the same college as well. So it's just, you know, you bounce ideas off all these guys. I talked to Travis about the surgery and the rehab, and, you know, talked to Matt about how his is going. And, me and Mike will just bounce plays off each other sometimes and talk about defenses and things like that because, I think we're both the same when it comes to just loving that competition and that fierce rivalry between us. But the friendship off the field is great.
Most of the peers picked you as the best quarterback in the league, but Cody Fajardo of the Rough Riders ranked pretty high. Just a quick comment on how you feel about being picked by your peers as the best quarterback and the fact that Cody Fajardo had a great season. Maybe a thought about him.
Yeah, I mean, that thing is cool. It's all side stuff and clickbait and social media things, and it's great. And I just, you know, relish the compliments all those guys gave me. It was really nice of those guys. But to speak on Cody, man, it was really impressive just to kind of watch the way he transformed throughout the entire year. You know, to not be the starter at the very beginning of the year and to take over a team and, you know, lead that team to be one of the best in the league. And the way he did it, you know, was with his feet and with the arm and, you know, in true CFL fashion. And I think, guys, I think he really has that kind of Saskatchewan, you know, esque attitude when it comes to football, that hard nose and just be tough. And it was definitely fun to watch, and I look forward to that guy's transition. I know him and Moss getting together, that's going to be a dangerous duo, so it'll be fun to watch for a couple years to come.
Two more Regina guys to talk about before I let you go. One was Mason Nice, went to camp with you last summer. He's from Regina, quarterback of the Huskies. He said he learned a lot from you. Just your thoughts on mentoring guys like that and how important it is for you to be a leader and bring what you know to the game to future generations.
Yeah, well, I'm a guy that runs a lot of camps out here with Ignite Football Academy. I like to coach quarterbacks, and I like to pass my knowledge on because, you know, I wasn't the most talented kid in the world, and I needed that mentor aspect when I was growing up, and guys to tell me that, you know, even though the potential is there, like, it comes way more between the ears than it does with just your arm. And I think that's something that, you know, I just want to make sure I can pass on to younger guys as well. Mason being there, it was awesome. I think the program we have with Canadian QBs coming into camps is really, really good and really beneficial to kind of keep promoting those guys to get to the CFL and, you know, one day have a couple more Canadian starters out there. And I'm starting to see it, man. I'm starting to see the difference in these quarterbacks and, you know, the talent between these guys and the Americans that are brought in, you know, aren't as far apart as they used to be. And, I definitely try to take after Dave, you know, when I've been here 10 years now, and if it's me to ask Dave a question, or if it's a first year guy that's probably going to get cut in camp, ask him a question. Dave's going to give you each guy the same answer. He's going to give you a very detailed answer and try to teach you no matter what he thinks your chances are of making the team. And I just try to, you know, I try to, you know, emulate that when it comes to, you know, talking to these young quarterbacks. Just because he's not going to be on my team and he's going back to college, I would just love to teach him everything I know and give him, you know, as much information as I can to try to become a better quarterback.
Awesome. Okay, last question for you. Mark Mueller, your quarterback's coach. He's a friend of this show, former Rams quarterback here. Just a great guy and a really good coach. Very smart guy. Comes from a great bloodline with Ron Lancaster. Just give me a shout-out to Mark Mueller.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I can't tell you how excited I am to have that guy as my coach this year. He's a guy I've always vibed with on the coaching staff, and we've always bounced ideas and plays off each other, just kind of just talking football. He's one of those guys that he can talk football for absolutely, you know, hours on end and love every second of it. He comes from the football background, the football family. He's a terrible dancer. he's got a horrible back and he's trying to work on it, but I can't tell you how lucky we are to have him on the staff and how lucky I am I'm going to be to have him in the QB room this year.
I think he's going to be a head coach one day in this league. I really do.
Oh, I do too. For sure you will.
All right, Bo, thanks for this. I appreciate your time, and I can't wait to see you on the football field. I guess a quick one more I want to squeeze in here. I know we're up against the clock, but what do you make of what's going on with this league? Are we going to have a season? Are you disappointed with how things have gone?
You know, I got to say, I think the criticism of Randy has been pretty, you know, it's been very magnified, and some of it's pretty unfair, I would say. You know, I think the players in the CFL, I think it's something that we've got to do to come together. If it's going to be a league of, you know, our own, a league of us, it's got to be us on every decision. We've got to take the credit and the blame together. You know, I'm not a PA rep, and I've never run for it. And so I'm never going to, you know, criticize my guys, because I think our guys do a very good job in representing us and our feelings and our thoughts on everything that's been happening. But, you know, financial, I don't know the financials of the CFL. You know, that's above my pay grade and you know, honestly, intelligence to know what's going on, you know, with every second in the past 10 years and the future of it. You know, so I don't think the guys up top are in a very easy position to try to make sure that we can run a season or be ready for 2021 and whatever that looks like. But, you know, if there is a season this year, you know, I think it's going to be a lucky thing to have, and I think all the players would be excited to have it if it was, you know, run the right way. Mm-hmm. You know, but I just think 2021 is probably the best look and the best aspect to get your, you know, right foot forward and just kind of, you know, attack and make sure that we have a great year next year. But I mean, either way, man, whenever they try to put a football in my hands, I'm gonna let it run.
All right, man. Hey, see, Rider Nation, and the number one villain, Bo Levi Mitchell, we can get along. Thanks for this, Bo. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, man.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.